Hello and welcome back to Talk a Good Game with myself, Tom Dannon. I'm joined in by Ferdinand Lynch, and we're missing one of our regulars.
Bank Holiday Mondays, you know, it's only the hardy souls of the sports department that work on a Bank Holiday Monday. Jimmy's part news, part sports, so obviously being a Bank Holiday Monday, he's opted to be part news today, which means he gets the day off. If he was part sport, he'd be working. A well-earned day off for Jimmy, yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, we won't hang around, Ferdinand. We'll kick on, and we've a big weekend ahead of us with the Mead Ladies contending the Leinster final against Dublin. Obviously, they had a second string side out against Dublin in the round three in Parnell Park on Sunday just gone, and as you're saying, we were saying this morning in the office, where it was a tough ask for them young players there.
Yeah, you know, I was talking about it, my own kids, my daughter especially has a huge interest in the Mead Ladies, and she was asking me, oh, can we go up to the game, can we go up to it, and I said, well, you know, we had a couple of other things on over the weekend, so we weren't able to go, and I was saying, you know, we'll watch it on the telly, but it's not going to be pretty reading because, you know, there was 14 changes to the Mead team from the victory over Kildare the week earlier. And while it's great to have that strength and depth that a manager can turn and obviously trust players to come in and do a job, it was always going to be a hiding to nothing for the Mead girls with 14 young players coming in. I think in total he gave 16 players their championship debut.
Yeah.
Which is huge, but it's very, very, in my mind, it's very, very unfair on those players to come in and are expected to perform and expected to produce a level of performance that would get them a win against a Dublin team. It was never going to happen. No. I would prefer to see if you're going to be giving players their debuts, you know, two or three, four players maybe.
Yeah.
You know, put them in along with the older, more experienced players, see how they get on. In a more settled team environment, but when you completely upheaval of the whole team, and you've a complete upheaval of that whole team, it's very difficult for girls to work together into any patterns, any style of play. You can do it all you like at training, but when you go out against any opposition, and then when that opposition are the All-Ireland champions, who fielded a strong team, including welcome back the likes of Sinead Goldrick and Carter Rowe, Nicole Owens was playing, you know, Hannah Tyrrell, Lauren McGee, Jennifer Dunn, like they're all household names. And it was actually quite a decent performance from the Mead girls, despite the 20-point defeat.
Yeah.
As it turned out, 5-13 to 8 points. It was quite a decent performance, and good to see, you know, this year's minor captain getting the run, Kerry Cole, and performing quite well. Her pace.
Yeah,
did cause Dublin problems.
Absolutely.
And Shona Lynch, I thought, did well when she came in. But
yeah,
you know, Maeve Byrne was excellent. But Maeve would be one of those players of those 14 changes from the game against Kildare.
Yeah,
Maeve Byrne is probably one that would be close to being on the strongest 15.
Yeah, yeah, very close.
So
yeah,
you know, she wasn't out of her depth or out of her place. So I don't mean to say out of their depth. I just think with experience.
It's just experience,
I think was the key. I thought it was harsh on them, but you were at the game, Tom, and you know, I was just watching it on the Leinster Ladies Facebook page.
Well, look, I agree certainly to a certain extent that, like, there was. I'm looking at the program here from the previous game against Kildare. The 30 players named in that. 29 of them, so between the Kildare game and the Dublin game, 29 of them have played at least 30 minutes in a Mead jersey.
Yeah.
Anya Sheridan being the only one who picked up an injury after 15 minutes against Kildare.
Yeah.
So that just shows you how many changes there was to that Mead team. Look, I think the manager kind of recognised that as well. Shane didn't want to speak to me after until he clarified how much. How many players had made their debut. He clarified with one of the management team there. I'm not sure if the management team really knew how strong Dublin were going to be. They did play with a strongish team, as you alluded to.
What sort of an effect do you think will that have going into Sunday's final? So now it's back, training back this week for a Leinster final in Croke Park, 11:45 next Sunday's first game of the doubleheader with the Dublin Loud and the men's senior final, which is a great thing, by the way. Yeah. It's great to see the ladies on the same bill. Again, because they were on earlier in the year with the Camogie finals were on the same day as the Meath Dublin and the men, so it's good to see that they're sharing the billing. But will Sunday's performance have any impact on next Sunday's game, do you think?
No, from a
Dublin point of view, does it give Dublin the shot in the arm, or like Dublin have now played 3 games in this Leinster and have coasted into the final. They played against a bad Laois team in the last round, let's face it, they only scored a point.
Yeah.
The game before that, they played against Kildare, which was a much changed Kildare team. So
Kildare
weren't really putting a whole lot. And then they played against a Meath team, which made 14 changes.
Yeah.
So Dublin have learned nothing from this Leinster.
Absolutely nothing.
Meath put out a strong team against Kildare to see where they were. So at least...
Is that not, I don't know if it's a positive, but I think that's an alien angle for Dublin.
Yeah, possibly.
They just haven't had a competitive challenge since the league, really, like, have they?
No.
And I think, to be fair, with the growth, if you go back to the main team that played against there, with the growth that they've shown in the last few games, they're certainly going to provide a much more physical challenge to Dublin than what they have been getting, I think, you know.
And plus, me beat Dublin in the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to disregard last Sunday's game as being a competitive game between the two best available 15s, I'm sure there were players missing when the teams met in the league for both sides. There were, undoubtedly. And Dublin are a lot stronger now, and Meath are probably a lot stronger now as well. But, you know, form would suggest that Meath will have a decent chance. And it's 24 years since Meath have won a title. A provincial title.
Yeah.
And that Meath team back, that was the end of 4 in a row, 97, 98, 99, and 2000. Meath won. And great players that really, really should have won All Ireland's, bet by Waterford in that All Ireland semi final in Parnell Park in 2000. I remember the game well. They should have beaten them.
Yeah. You had busy times that year with the footballers, footballers doing well, and the ladies at that time.
Yeah, honest to God, you were in All-Ireland men's final and All-Ireland ladies semi-final in 99 was hectic, really was hectic.
Yeah.
But, Jesus, you'd beg for those days now.
You would,
absolutely. Beg, borrow, or steal those type of days now if you can get them. And we're getting them, you know. We've got the Meath ladies, 2 in a row, All-Ireland winners just... you know, 21 and 22. The under-20s that are going well have had been in an All-Ireland minor final when they were that age in 21 and now in an All-Ireland under-20 semi-final.
Yeah.
Okay, our hurlers aren't exactly pulling up trees in the Joe McDonagh Cup, but it's the second year of hurling, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, all's not doom and gloom in MGA and we'd like to see a bit more silverware coming, all right, instead of being competitive, let's go and let's bring a trophy or two home, starting with these Meath ladies who have consistently brought home trophies.
They certainly have the capabilities to do that on Sunday, I think. You know, when you look at the firepower that this team has up front, like, you know, like Marion Farley has an excellent games in Sleash and Clare. We all know how good Emma Dublin is, and Megan Tyne and Shelley Amelia. Like, particularly in the forwards there.
It's great to see Marion Farley back, because Marion was a brilliant underage player, captained Meath to win an All-Ireland Minor B title in 2016. Had an injury and then was in college and doing physiotherapy and stepped away from playing with the team. She was actually the physio for the last couple of years. But she would be very unfortunate to have missed out on a couple of senior All-Irelands, because she would have been... right at home in that team, an excellent footballer, and as you said, an amazing scoring threat, is a jinky, tricky sort of player, hard to control, but can also link up play and spots things, you know, can spot players over her shoulder, can pick a pass out of nothing, and she's a really, really talented footballer. So to have herself, Ciara Smith, Emma Duggan,
as
you said, really strong attacking players, and throw in along with the hard work then of Megan Tyne gets up and down the field, and
absolutely,
and what she puts in there, is, and Niamh Gallogly as well coming from the half back line. It's just it's got plenty of attacking threat. They know their defensive structure, how that works. Although I just from reading, we have a guest columnist in our paper this week with Neva Sullivan, and she says that they seem to have departed a little bit from that zonal marking structure.
That's right.
To more of a man on man, she called it man marking, which that's fair enough. That's what we'd know it as. She was saying, more of a man marking type of defensive setup now, where you identify the most threatening player on the ball and you attack them, or you cut them down that they can't deliver it to somebody else who might be in a better position. Rather than zonal defending, it's that. So it's a different type of defensive setup.
It's something to keep an eye on Sunday, is them team matchups, isn't it? That'd be vital.
Sinead Goldrick being back for Dublin is huge. And if Meade can limit her impact on the game and even break even around midfield, where you have Lauren McGee and Jennifer Dunn, they'll really have a sound platform to kick on there, because in players like, and Monica McGurkey, the best goalkeeper in the country, Mary Kate Lynch, you've the best foot, and these are undeniable facts, this isn't bias. Mary Kate Lynch is the best full back in the country, simple as. Katie New is probably, there's obviously two positions for cornerbacks, and she's probably in the top two cornerbacks in the country as well. Niamh Gallogly was on the National League Division 1 team of the year, from a wing back position. Excellent. They've Aveen Cleary to come into that team, as well. Just really solid platforms to build on. And then that exciting forward division. It's something to look forward to, absolutely. And hopefully there'll be a big Meade support up there, because Croke Park has been a fairly barren, quiet place for the last few games. But if we can get the Meade supporters up there, we'll get a bit of colour and noise, it'll be great.
11:45 throw in there on Sunday. Just before we move on, I did speak after the Dublin Parnell Park. I did speak to Maeve Byrne, who had an excellent performance on the day and was really throwing her hat in the ring to take one of them starting positions that we just spoke about in the forward line. Will we play that now, Fergus?
Let rip.
I'm going to crack on from there. All right.
Maeve, look, I must say you had an incredible performance out there today, individual performance, and really tried to put your name into the hat. As I said, you're kind of on the fringe of the team and come on last week, and you're really trying to get into that start 15 today with that performance, aren't you?
Yeah, that's it. I think the past few weeks now we've all kind of got together and started pushing each other on a lot. There's the starting 15 that gets on, but there's a panel of 34 of us there, so we're all pushing each other on week in, week out, and it's great for maybe the girls there who haven't got as much game time to go out there and put the hand up, and we all want to be playing Croker there next week, so just trying to get that starting jersey and everyone fighting for a starting jersey.
Brilliant. Looking ahead to next week, you've had plenty of big days against Dublin. What would you have took away from the big days there that you'd bring into next week, or let the other bring in with the other girls?
I think at this stage we're getting to know Dublin very well now, we know they're physical now, and I'm sure the girls have gone out there and seen firsthand how physical they can be, and they are obviously a well organised team, not all Ireland champions for no reason. So getting to know them very well now over the last few years. So Sunday we know they're going to be very physical and put the pressure on us again. But it was a great battle out there today, and definitely prepared us well then for next Sunday, good preparation.
And they're kind of a team that, the teams that have caused us problems in the league, Kerry and Armagh, they've had individual performers, whereas Dublin have kind of an overall performance all over the pitch, don't they? They don't have any standout real.
Even their bench there will be very strong there as well. So
experience.
Definitely. Even Sinead Goldrick back in there into the team there as well. She's such an experienced player, so it's really great for us to get a chance to play again them there as well, because you know that's the only thing that's going to stand to us there. So
and what's the confidence like going into next week?
Yeah, good. I think we can get a lot of confidence from that game there, for sure. So confident, and you know, we'll keep trucking away during the week there, and pulling confidence from the hard work. Yeah,
we had Maria Teeley seen yesterday.
We were, yeah. No, that was a great, definitely. It was really amazing.
Good turner, has that?
Yeah, definitely. A few familiar faces, Nevo Sullivan in the mix there, and Jenny Rispin, all the old school ones, anyway. Yeah, getting the me jersey back on them, but no, it was a fantastic event, and good crack, good community vibe at it as well. So, it was a brilliant day yesterday as well.
Brilliant. Okay, thanks very much.
Super, cheers, thanks all so right. much.
That was Maeve Byrne speaking after Meath's defeat to Dublin in Parnell Park. And she just mentioned at the end of her interview about the Maria Teeley Festival of Football. Was there
it was Dunshaughlin Festival of Football. It was in memory of Maria Teeley and Dennis Teeley, brother and sister, who unfortunately passed away. Dennis's anniversary is around about this time. Maria's would have been in early December, would have been her anniversary. So, a tragedy and an awful time for the Keeley family with that. Absolutely. But and nothing will ever soothe the heartbreak or ease the loss that they've had to endure over that time. But they would have to have been heartened by the Festival of Football that the club put on Saturday. It was an unbelievable day. It started off with underage blitzes from clubs all over Meath and Leinster, including underage teams from Rathnew, who would have had great rivalry with Dunshaughlin back in the early 2000s. I think Dunshaughlin and Rathnew played each other 9 times in 3 years in the Leinster club. There was draws and replays and second replays and third replays. So they had great rivalry, and I saw a Facebook post from Rathnew just thanking Dunshaughlin for the invite, and what a great day it was, and it reminded them of the memories of the past, and you know, introduced the kids to the rivalry with Dunshaughlin. So it was an unbelievable day for the kids. And then in the evening part of it, there was may have referenced it there. There was All-Stars games then between the Meath Ladies All-Stars against the Dunshaughlin Royal Gael All-Stars, and then the Meath Men All-Stars played under the management of Graham Geraghty, played the Dunshaughlin All-Stars. So it was like, it was great. And I was involved with the Meath Ladies All-Star team along with Eamon Murray and Jane Burke. And Mickey Collins and Anne Collins. Mickey Collins would have coached Maria when Maria Teeley won the All-Ireland Under 16 in 2000. And Maria would have been involved with myself and Eamon when we were the management team when Meath won the Leinster in 2019. And Maria would have played with Jane Burke then as well. So a lot of the players that would have played with Maria or either were coached by Maria came and lined out for the Meath Ladies All-Stars. You had players like Jenny Rispin, Christine O'Brien, Katrina O'Shaughnessy, Anne-Marie O'Brien. I could obviously only leave someone out, but Julianne Scanlon was playing, Edel Guy was playing. Players that she won that All-Ireland with, as I said, she was the only, Maria was, as far as we're aware, the only player ever to captain Meath, captain any team to win an All-Ireland Under 16, and then a few years later coached them to win an All-Ireland Under 16. So she was coach of Meath in 2009, which the irony of it was when Maria captained Meath to win the All-Ireland Under 16 in 2000, that was on a Saturday, and the following day Dunshaughlin won the first of their 3 in a row, and Dennis was one of the players, or one of the many Keeley brothers on that Dunshaughlin team to lift the Keegan Cup the following day. So that was a great weekend for the Keeley family in 2000. And, you know, as I said, nothing will ease the pain and heartache that they're still enduring, but would have been so heartened with the response from the local community on Saturday. There was thousands, and literally thousands of people there over the day. It was an unbelievable occasion. It wasn't a fundraiser as such. They were inviting people to donate money to, if they wished, or donate whatever to Me Palliative Care and you know, a few other organisations. I actually haven't got the flyer with me at the minute, but you know, Me Palliative Care were great to Marie in her final few days. But just the support that came and the crack that was had on the day and talking to Patsy and Aid, Dennis and Marie's mother and father, they were really boosted by the whole occasion, and it really was a great day. And so many legends, and on the Mead team as well, like to see Trevor Giles playing again, and to see Anthony Miles and Mark Ward and David Gallagher and Ray McGee and Evan Kelly, and to see all these boys, and they're playing against the Dunshaughlin legends that had won that those three in a row, Crimmins and great lads like that. Just Ray Maloney scored one of the best goals I've ever seen scored at any level of GAA. Unbelievable goal. I was talking to him afterwards in the pub having a few pints, so he said he was just that knackered. His leg, he just swung his leg at it and it flew into the top corner from about 25 yards. It was a brilliant goal. Not sure the standard of the goalkeeper was that high, but it was just an unbelievable goal. But look, a great occasion. And
great family memories as well for kids and stuff that were there.
Just showcased what I heard Joe Brawley on about it in his Free State podcast, about the importance of the GAA in the community and at times like that. Just that it offers such a shoulder for people to lean on in tough times. And Dunshaughlin Royal Games can be really proud of the show that they put on Saturday. And there was loads of people involved in the organisation of it. Niall Kelly, former Mead footballer himself, was one of the key men that I was dealing with when we were asked to get involved, myself and Eamon and that, to get involved. And Niamh O'Sullivan was one of the main organisers as well. So Niamh talked out and played, and it was great. When I think of it, some of those great Mead ladies players have played. Even Marcella Price played. Janet Quinn was on the sideline, wasn't able to play, but some of the younger ones as well, Megan Peters, Aoife Farrell, Saoirse Kane, that Maria would have coached the minors. So there was loads of superstars of the past, and it really was a great day.
Fantastic. After we finished up last Monday, you made your way to Parnell Park.
Yeah.
For Mead versus Loud in the under 20s.
Jeez, that seems like a lifetime ago.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long day, but Jesus, it was worth it.
Cracking.
What? Unbelievable. And, I spoke to, I don't know how many different Mead supporters and former Mead players and Mead managers and everything coming out of Parnell Park after the game. And everybody was just in awe of the performance. Now, sometimes you have to be careful. There's a big All-Ireland semi-final coming up next Saturday against a Kerry team that love lying in the long grass and are just waiting to pounce. Now, I was talking to a fellow down in Kerry before their Munster final against Cork, and it was, we have no hope, the real year at Kerry. We have no hope, sure, at all. And
it wouldn't be like them.
And next thing, they beat Cork 115-12, so they're obviously not a bad team. And the feeling from talking to the Mead fans coming out of Parnell Park, they were absolutely buzzing, not just for the victory, but the manner of the performance, I think, is what's most impressive.
Any good
coach worth his salt will always say, just want to get a performance out of the team. And we'll see where that performance takes us. Well, YJ's Colin O'Brick and his management team got a performance. Because this Loud team was highly praised. It was well thought of. It had beaten Dublin in the semi-final, a strong and impressive Dublin team in the semi-final. And, Mead went 2 points up early on, then went 4-2 down. But they just blitzed them. Blitzed them and played some superb football. And we rant and raving about how good Eamon Armstrong has been.
Superb.
Coming out of minor from last year.
Yeah.
He scored 1-2. He laid on so much more. He's just as an engine up and down. I know Davey Rispin on the We Are Mead podcast interviewed him. Interview with him as well. Interviewed him after the game and just asked him, because we had been talking about it, I'd love to see his GPS stats. So he was saying he's running around 13 kilometres a game, which I would imagine is definitely maybe 2.5-3 kilometres more than any other person on the field. And when you think that's one person, and to run 2.5 or 3 more kilometres than anybody at over an hour is a huge amount of running. But he's just non-stop, and he looked like a fella who could go out and do it again.
Yeah, like you're tipping at probably averaging 8,500-9,000 is probably average. Or
you look at a soccer player now, I know it's a smaller field and there wouldn't be as much running, but you know, in the Premier League you'd be talking about a box-to-box midfielder would probably be doing 9.5 kilometres over 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So Eamon Armstrong is doing 12 to 13 kilometres in 60.
That's incredible.
it's just goes to show. And he's not the only one. Killian Smith on the other wing from Castletown, just up and down the field. I think I remarked in my report that between the two of them, they covered every blade of grass in Parnell Park twice.
It was just
phenomenal, up and down and up and down. And then you have the threat in the inside forward line of Jamie Murphy and Huey Corcoran. Huey Corcoran was part of that minor team in 2001, so he was one of 9 players that started the final in 2001, the minor final in 2001, that started that Leinster final. But Jamie Murphy wasn't on, would have had a very limited minor career, but has really blossomed. He got on to, I think he played senior with St. Pat's last year, and this year he's a real good focal point. Considering Meath have lost Keen Commons to injury and Brian O'Halloran missing down the other end of the field, it was just a really good performance, good all over the field. Jack Kinlock in midfield along with Charlie O'Connor, Connor Duke dropping from wing forward back into that midfield position, giving Meath that base, that ability to win the ball in the third, in that middle third, and then the two backs, as I said, Armstrong and Smith bombing on, Connor Ennis well able to bomb on as well for somebody so his size. I know we mentioned it before, and I don't like going out. He's probably one of my favourite Meath players. Just his tenacity. You know, if we had 15 Connor Ennis's, Jesus Christ, it'd be okay. We mightn't score a whole lot, but he certainly wouldn't be conceding a whole lot with his tenacity. But.
Yeah.
Look, it augurs well for the team going to Semple Stadium next Saturday, 3 o'clock against Kerry. As I said, Kerry had a good win over Cork. They set up defensively and picked off Cork and frustrated Cork 9 points to 5 up at half time. And then in a third quarter blitz got into from 9-5 it went to 1-12 to 6 or something. That was game over.
They just ran
out 115 to 12 points winner. Okay, they were outscored 6 points to 3 in the closing stages, but they're a damn good side, well coached and managed by Tomás O'Shea. So there'll be no pushovers, but by jeez, it's a good Meath team, and it's great to see a Meath team playing with a structure and a shape and a very, very definite game plan.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they weren't great against Laois in the quarterfinals, and they lost to Dublin in the group stages. But the good thing is that they learned their lessons from those games.
Yeah,
and they seem to have kicked on. So it's good to see that they're definitely an exciting team. Really are an exciting team. You know, Captain Liam Kelly, fullback. It's a really strong fullback line along with Conor Ennis and Sean O'Hare, and then John O'Regan is just like a. He's just like a pillar of strength at centre back. He's probably the closest thing to a Liam Harnan that we've had in that number six role.
There's a lot of hope resting on Liam Kelly's shoulders in my club, and we're talking. There's not the strongest players coming through, we're taught that has been in the past, but he is a special talent for them.
Look at the opening line of my preview to the game in the paper is it's the hope that kills you. For a Rathaut point of view or for a Meath point of view, the hope is great, but let's just hope that they can get over the line. I also mentioned in the preview that, you know, this group of players that owes Meath football nothing in their 2 championship campaigns that they've played, you know, 1 minor and 1 under 20. They've won an All-Ireland at minor and they've won a Leinster at under 20. We haven't won a Leinster in 23 years since 2001 at under 20 / 21 level. So to be able to win something there, it's just great.
Can you remember some of the members that there's one after that?
No. No, not off the top of my head, I can't tell. Yeah. But it wasn't the most star-studded team. It was It was good, solid footballers. I'm sure if we googled it there, you can look up.
Yeah, what I'm getting at is how often, because we don't generally have that success at 20s level, like, how likely are we, is it to translate into the success for the senior team?
Kildare won the All-Ireland Under 20 last year and were relegated to Division 3 in the National League. Offaly have won the All-Ireland Under 20 in recent times, and they're not exactly pulling up trees. I think Sligo have been, not sure if they won, but they definitely have been competitive in Under 20, Under 21 Football Championship
in recent years,
and it's still the same old superpowers that are in charge of Gaelic football at the minute, so there's nothing guaranteed.
Yeah,
but I think myself that there's, and I've mentioned this on other podcasts, that there is a good, strong cohort of young players in the Meath setup as it is already.
Yeah.
You know, when you look through the team, we've a young goalkeeper, we've a relatively young full back, it is young in Adam O'Neill, who's there at the minute, and Ronan Ryan is chomping at the bit there as well. You've got Kieran Caulfield, you've got Sean Coffey, you've Conor Gray, you've Matthew Costello. You've just got so many good young players already in there that are getting valuable experience now, so that when this group of players are ready to step in next year or the year after, they're going to bring them on. And I think lads like Liam Kelly, John O'Regan, Conor Ennis, Armstrong, obviously Kinloch, Jamie Murphy, will seriously add to a Meath senior panel in years to come. It's the excitement. Maybe we'll get another All-Ireland before I retire, which is fast catching up.
On that as well, then the Meath senior panel, then I think since we've been chatting as well, the draw was made for the round robin. And a favourable enough draw, some would say.
Absolutely. I think everyone would say, including Monaghan and including Loud, they look at it as well as being a favourable draw. We're all looking at it as if, Kerry are going to beat
all around them.
We'll beat the other three teams. Although, looking at the level of their performance against Clare at the weekend, a couple of great saves by the Kerry keeper there, could deny Clare a couple of goals. It could have been a lot tighter. We're assuming Dublin will beat Loud. I think it would want to be foolish to assume anything else. So Loud will look at it. The only thing is, how will Loud now approach that Leinster final against Dublin? Do they go with their best team and the hope to put it up to Dublin, still suffer a 15-20 point defeat, and then be demoralised going into a game against Meath? Or do they see it as an opportunity to try out a few things, give a few fringe players game time, which will stand to them then in the All-Ireland series? So Loud and Monaghan will both identify Meath as the game to win.
Yeah.
Three teams come out of the group, which...
Three
teams come out, so the winners go straight into All-Ireland quarterfinals, and the two runners-up play preliminary quarterfinals. So three teams come out. So one win will essentially get you into an All-Ireland quarterfinal. Loud and Monaghan will focus on Meath. Meath will focus on those two teams as well to win.
Yeah.
And I think from a Meath point of view, we've got Kerry at home, which is a shot to nothing. It's a great place to get them. And I think, it mightn't exactly be the cakewalk that Kerry and everybody else might expect it to be. Loud... Monaghan is going to be at a neutral venue. That's our neutral game. I think we take them out of Clonus, we have a great chance against them. We played against them in Division 1 when we were in Division 1 in COVID years in 2020.
Yeah.
And we drew with them. It was our only positive result in the league that year.
Clonus is such a fortress for them. It's an added bonus.
The only problem is that it's probably likely to be in Breffni Park, and Meath haven't won in Breffni Park in 50 odd years. Something like that. Meath haven't won up
there. Did they not win a qualifier at some stage?
Sorry, they haven't beaten Cavan in Breffni Park in 50 odd years. They did, but
they
beat Louth in Breffni Park, I think 4 goals from Keane Ward. So
you're right.
So yeah, maybe Breffni Park mightn't be such a bad place after all. And the game against Louth is meant to be a home game for Louth, but they have nowhere suitable to host the game other than RD, and I don't think that's suitable. So that could well be in Croke Park.
Right.
So, you know, Meath will end up playing, maybe their three games could be Croke Park, Park Tulchan and Breffni, which are three venues that they've already played in this year.
Well, they're kicking off against Louth, and it'd be great to have a positive result from that. It'd take a lot of stress off.
And that's what I'm saying about Louth playing Dublin. So, you know, if they get a hiding off Dublin with their full strength team, it's going to be very demoralising for them coming in against a Meath team who are fresh off a Sun training camp in Portugal, just got back there on Saturday. A couple of challenge matches lined up this week and next week ahead of that first round game against, we're assuming it's going to be against Louth, but it will be against Louth.
What's the turnaround? Is it 2 weeks then?
2 weeks.
From the Leinster final.
Leinster final's on the 12th and Meath are due to play as the 25th, first game. Then the following week is at home to Kerry, and then there's a week's break for the June. I don't think we've anything on the June Bank Holiday weekend, and then it's the following week after that. Then we're Monaghan at a neutral venue. So
And look, All Ireland quarter final is something that Meath aspire to be in, and haven't had best luck in getting there in recent times, but it's definitely a level that
The preliminary quarter final is definitely you know, and at that stage then you're playing a second seed or a third seed team again, so you're still avoiding the top seed teams, the top four teams. Now that could well be Mayo, you know, or somebody like that, that if you did get to a quarter final, but or even a Derry or somebody, you know, it wouldn't be an easy quarterfinal or preliminary quarterfinal. Then to get to a quarterfinal, then it'd be definitely would exceed expectations, I think.
But not beyond the realm of possibility.
No, certainly not. It'd be a bonus for me to get to an All Ireland quarterfinal with this team now.
When
I still think they're 3 years away from being fully competitive with the top. Three or four teams in the country.
Hopefully.
No.
absolutely. And your business from the papers perspective.
Unfortunately, one team that's not been competitive at the minute are the hurlers again.
We mentioned that.
Now, it was an improved performance, but it was always going to be that from losing by 31 points to Laois, to lose by only 21 points to Offaly. But you know, score 3-16, which would be a good return, but to concede 5-31, I was doing a few sums this morning just to follow up on what we were talking about in the podcast last week, and Jimmy was writing an article just to, you know, it's time that players have to stand up now, you know, the management is gone and the players have to stand up. In 19 games in the Joe McDonagh Cup in our 5 years of playing it, we've won one game. And as it stands, there's a scoring difference of -240 from those 19 games. So we've lost our Joe McDonagh Cup games by over 12.5 points on average. So losing isn't, you know, it's becoming a familiar trend in the Joe McDonagh. So we need to see a little bit more consistency. We need to see an improvement from Meath hurling. But if they're going to chop and change management and not trust the style of play that a certain management are trying to bring in, or a hurling committee were trying to bring in coaches to apply and improve Meath hurling, unless everybody buys into that, it's just going to be a up and down from Ring Cup, winning a Ring Cup or doing really well to win a Ring Cup, because that's the standard we're at. And you have to play to the peak of the powers to win that, to getting absolutely annihilated in Joe McDonagh. It's not serving Meath hurling any purpose whatsoever.
It's not it's not a great look in mead hurling. It's not a great look for hurling overall.
No.
On the wider scale of things, like, do you know what I mean?
And it's not great for kids looking at it. Mead kids are looking at it and going, you know, I see the amount of work that goes on in my own club, as I'm sure you see it as well, in hurling and developing the young players. And the work that those boys are putting in is phenomenal. And Trimmer are having a good bit of success and won a minor league over the weekend. So there's a huge amount of work going in clubs all over the place. But when they're coming into county development squads, then there's no structure, there's no single vision as to this is the style that we need to get up, get Mead hurling playing. Yeah. And we need these young fellas playing from when they're 14 or 15 years of age. We need them playing this style of hurling, be it combative hurling, be it counter-attacking hurling, be it front foot hurling, be it, you know, aggressive, strong. Do the work that has to get them to the position to get the best out of them. But that's not been done. You've got great people working with development squads.
Yeah,
unbelievable people working with development squads in Mead and hurling. But we need somebody with experience and with a structure to bring all that together with one vision to get Mead hurling.
I think you've touched on a point as to why we have a more positive outlook maybe on the footballers, because we can see that Colin O'Rourke has laid out a pathway.
Yeah.
That we may or may not be successful on that pathway, but at least we didn't see that pathway.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't seem to be a pathway.
It's even below Colin O'Rourke. It's the work that's been done or was being done by Barry Horgan, who has now moved on, and that's why his position is up. You know, Mead GAA are advertising looking for a head of football academy, and Paul Garrigan, who was with the Mead Ladies, is running a developmental pathway there for young players to come through, and that's starting. I won't say it's starting to reap benefits now, because there were other good people that were doing work before, like Colin O'Brick's team now.
Yeah.
He's under 20s.
Yeah,
are pre Barry Horgan and pre Paul Garrigan. They've come through the system with good coaching from good former players that were involved. But now there's a structure in place in football that if it fails, it's not from the lack of trying.
Yeah.
For me, and Mead County Board will deny this all they want, but it's an undeniable fact. If Mead hurling fails, it is from a lack of trying.
Yeah.
Not on behalf of the players, or not on behalf of the coaches that are out there coaching kids, but from a committed straight line focus onto what can we do to improve Mead hurling. There needs to be a plan, and there doesn't seem to be one.
No,
there doesn't seem to be one. I'm not sure there's enough games in hurling. There might be too many games in football in division 9s and 10s and 8s in the leagues, and you know, stuff like that. Whereas hurling, there's our championship structure needs to be looked at. There's really only two or three teams that are anyway competitive in the senior championship any given year.
Yeah.
And then you can see when they go on into Leinster, the best team generally does okay, but that's at intermediate level. We need to step up, and we need to get more teams competitive. More of our games need to be competitive. Like Trim, Ratolt and Kildare.
Yeah.
And say last year, the year before and this year.
Yeah.
Are probably going to be your three teams. Kiltaire have fallen off a bit, Dunboyne have fallen off a bit. Knessin are coming a little bit again, but there could be a few years before they're ready to compete. And by the time Knessin are ready to, Kiltaire seem to be on the wane a little bit. So they're just going to replace Kiltaire. So you're just getting, you know, so then you end up that the only decent, high quality games of hurling are when Trim play Kildare or Kildare play Ratolt or Ratolt play Trim. There's only three high quality games of hurling in the year that are of standard, whereas we need 20 high quality intense games of hurling to bring those fellas on, and so that when players do emerge from the underage pathway, that they're stepping up into a strong competitive adult hurling scene. But that's just not there at the minute, and until that changes, we're going to yo-yo and we mightn't even yo-yo. We could drop back down to Christy Ring, and don't forget we did win a Nicky Rackard as well, which is a fourth tier. Mead have been down there,
yeah,
and unless things improve
and just to go back to the point just very quickly, like, it's not like you mentioned them three teams there, but it's not like, as we said before, that them three teams are dominantly represented on the county team either.
Trim went 20 years without winning a senior hurling title between 2001 and 2021.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not as if it's been Trim the whole way.
No.
There are teams that are dominating. So Kiltale won 5 or 6 in a row, Kildare won 3 in a row, or maybe 5 in 8 years or something.
Yeah.
That's all, but teams then drop out. So there's no consistent level of new teams, of those teams staying at a high level and new teams coming and joining them. Yeah. What's happening is a new team is coming into the structure, but somebody is falling away.
So there's never a competitive
There's never. So the Meath Hurling Championship is 2 groups of 6.
Hmm.
Group B, no team is going to win a championship from Group B. And Group A, the top 4 teams go in, and you know they're the top 4 teams in the county. The bottom 2 teams are just, again, a bit like the Meath Hurlers in Reid Cup and McDonagh. They're just going to yo-yo between Group A and Group B. Your Killines, your Kilmessan, Dunboyne's, Clannagale, Nafina's. Nafina now have tried their best to push into that top 4. But it's still at the minute. So it's Trim, Ratote, Kildare and Kiltale at the minute, and Kiltale, as I said, are on the wane. So it's disappointing for hurling, but you know, hopefully they can pick it back up. Mm. And the county board have to be strong, which unfortunately I don't think they were overly strong in dealing with the crisis that was developing there only a few weeks ago, which led to the management team leaving. So
I'll give a mention as well while we're on the topic of hurling to the Mead Camogie there as well. Also suffered a heavy defeat at the weekend. What was the stat that you had, like 61?
So Mead played three senior games over the weekend. The Joe McDonagh Cup against Offaly, the Mead Ladies against Dublin in the football, and the Mead Camogie against Dublin in the Leinster Senior. And between the three games, all the Mead teams lost by a combined total of 62 points.
Yeah.
21 point defeats and a 20 point defeat.
Yeah, yeah. So another
one, two of those were just teams that were out or depth, and one of them was a Mead Ladies team that made 14 changes and threw a lot of girls in at the deep end.
But
the Mead Camogie are an intermediate Camogie team playing Dublin senior team in a senior championship.
Yeah.
And the Mead Hurlers are out of their depth in the Joe McDonagh Cup.
And that's the thing with the Mead Camogie. They are, that's what I was saying this morning, like, they are an intermediate team.
A
strong intermediate team. The one thing you don't want happening, I suppose, like, you know, it was probably a realisation for the Dales to come up against that senior Dublin team, that if they do, which they very well likely do, come out of intermediate at some stage, that's the prize and that's the level that they have to reach it. So it might be the worst thing that they came up against that sort of team at this stage, in my mind.
No, but they've done that over the last few years. They've played in the senior championship and in the Leinster senior championship. And they were also a All-Ireland senior championship team, you have to remember, just a few years ago as well.
Yeah,
it's just been the huge turnover of players that has hurt Mead Camogie.
Yeah.
So you've lost your Jane Dolan's,
Aoife Minogue last year.
You've lost a huge amount of really top quality players. Sinead Hackett is another one that was, you know, gone. I could have done, if I had a little bit more time, I'd have thought about the players that have gone. But Mead Camogie have lost huge amount of players, but young ones have come in and done really, really well. You know, when you think of Ciara Foley and Connolly's from Killine, and Emma Hannafin from Trim, and they're still backbone by the likes of Claire Coffey, Maeve Clint, Ellen Burke. You know, and then Aoife Carey is only a young one coming in, who I must give a mention to. Aoife Carey played for Mead Camogie in Peregrines, and her mother was up watching her on Saturday. Right. And then she hopped in the car and flew down to Dunshaughlin and played with the Mead Ladies All Stars.
Oh, brilliant.
Shout out to Anne-Marie O'Brien there for doing that, as a classy footballer in her time as well.
I'm just looking at it there as well, and I know we mentioned a few of them there, and
you know, we were last year, we were probably over reliant on Aoife Minogue.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that, as I said, the Connolly twins, who actually didn't start at the weekend, but are still very, very good Camogie players. But it's that forward power then that I was talking about the ladies. It's the same with Camogie, like, as you said, Aoife, Terry, Ciara Foley, Amy Daphne, Emma Hanavan, who was slotted in a full forward there, Avian Lally. They're all going forward. I actually think, from an intermediate perspective, they're a very good forward, yeah. A bit power, firepower up front. Mm. Can be a little bit sloppy handling errors, particularly in defence. A few errors led to goals and stuff, and that probably made the result do then look worse than it was. And I will have mentioned Claire Coffey, who you mentioned there, picked up a bad injury there towards the end of the game. So we wish her. Well, actually, I don't know the extent of what the injury is, but hopefully it's not as bad as what it looked like. You know?
On a racing front, Tom, what was Punchestown like for Meads? I was kind of only watching bits and pieces, so I was up to my eyes with previewing this ladies' Leinster final. But Punchestown, it was great to see Gordon Elliott's stable jockey, Jack Hendy, winning the top jockey. But from a Mead point of view...
Well, I suppose that was the biggest takeaway. As you said, Jack Kennedy won the with the jockey's title, which is good coming from a Mead stable, and shows the firepower that Gordon Elliott has at the minute. Some strange results, like Punchestown can show up some strange results that are different from maybe what you see in Cheltenham or maybe what you see in Ferry House or that, and it's just that it comes at the end of the season. And you know it is hard to do at Cheltenham Aintree, kind of thing. I think T. Huppu, who I mentioned before, that's a great performance. 3 runs this year, and 3 wins. That's an amazing performance from Gordon Elliott, like, to do that with that horse. As I said, it kind of
there was a win or two for Beckton Stud for Noel and Valerie Moran as well. Was there? I think I saw the winner.
Yeah, off the top of my head now.
Oh, we'll have the details in the paper anyway this week, so anybody wants to check it out.
And it just generally brings a close to a national season, I think, that has been really, really good from a Mead perspective.
Yeah.
Like a standout, I think Keith Dunne, who deserves a mention for the season that he's had.
Was he third in the Jockeys' Championship behind Paul Townend and Jack Kennedy?
It was either him or Paddy Mullins now.
I think it was him.
Which is extraordinary from where you think that this is a lad that was given the game up 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And the way he's responded, the change of yards, like, he's still working a bit for Gordon. Coming in and working for Davin has been brilliant
Kevin
for him.
Cromwell,
and it's helped at this point of time. But Davin Cromwell has been excelling as well, which is fantastic, you know.
So it's over to the softer lads now, on the flat, the softer jockey.
Of
course, we have our champion jockey from Trim, Colin Keane. Hopefully, he'll have another successful year with his boss, Ger Lyons, there out in Kiltale. And we've Declan McDonough, of course, from Minolti, and a few good young riders as well. You see them riding all winter, and getting winners, the likes of Jack Kearney, Siobhan Routledge from Ashbourne was picking up winners as well, and a couple of others. There's a Robert Werty, from Hard Cat. So we've plenty of good young local jockeys to keep an eye out on, and of course Gordon will be putting out horses on the flat, and Noel Mead is getting more and more flat runners. He seems to be more of a flat trainer now than a jumps trainer, even though he had a winner at Punchestown as well.
He's done a lot of success out of the flat, actually.
While the national hunt is, Mead is seen as strong in the national hunt, we have plenty of hopefully big days ahead for our flat jockeys as
Fingers crossed.
It's great to have a cross section of sport to be able to cheer on. You know, it's the end of the year for the rugby as well, and athletics is only kicking in now as well. So onwards and upwards from Mead Sport.
Onwards and upwards. We
better get back to work.
Leave it at that. So, perfect. Listen, thanks again for joining us again for this
week.
Thanks,
Tom.
We hope you have Jimmy back next week.
Well, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And thanks to the listeners again for listening. This has been Talk a Good Game.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've listened to another edition of the Meath Chronicle Sports Podcast, talking good games. Say hi!